So good morning. As Pastor Bill said, I've had the real privilege of, sometimes struggle, of spending about an hour with the kids after the worship service every week, talking about what it means to believe what Christians believe. We've been sort of doing the work that St. Anselm, a great medieval theologian, called faith seeking understanding. So what does it mean to say, what does it mean to say that that Jesus is fully God and fully man? What does that mean? What is the church? What does Christianity have to say about suffering in our world? But for you confirmands and whatever the word is for people who are baptized, I hope that you understand today that you're confirming your faith, not a full understanding of everything it means. You're confirming Jesus' call on your life to follow him, to know him. You're confirming that Jesus has sought you out and that you've experienced that and that he's drawing you toward himself. Last weekend, we spent some time in Bible study looking at the story of Peter. Peter was one of the first followers of Jesus. He's called an apostle. And Peter very often misunderstood Jesus. When he first met Jesus, Peter turned away from him, saying, "Go away from me, a sinful man." He didn't understand that Jesus came to seek not the righteous, but sinners. When Jesus told Peter that he, Jesus, would suffer, be crucified, die, and be raised, Peter said to him, "Far be it from you, Lord." He didn't understand the way in which Jesus would redeem him. When Jesus knelt to wash Peter's feet in the upper room on their last night together, before Jesus' crucifixion, Peter rejected him again, saying, "You will never wash my feet." He failed to understand that following Jesus also means being healed and sustained by him along the way. And when Jesus stood trial, Peter waited outside. And when asked if he knew Jesus, Peter rejected him, denying him three times. He failed to see what Jesus was doing, that he would be raised as he had promised. Yet for all Peter's misunderstanding, for all his failure to really know who Jesus is, Peter loved Jesus, and Peter sought to follow him. And more importantly, Jesus loved Peter. Jesus corrected him. Jesus encouraged him. Jesus knew everything Peter would do, including his denial, and Jesus called him back. It was Jesus who had called Peter to him. It was Jesus who asked Peter if he could step into his boat and go out on the water. Jesus, the good shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to seek out the one lost. And that was Peter's story. Today we're going to turn to one of the other great apostles, one of the other early figures or fathers in the church, Paul, to hear a bit of how he tells his story of discipleship with Jesus. I think we'll hear some similar themes. We'll read from the letter to the Philippians, where Paul is in prison. He's writing to the church in Philippi, which is in Greece. And this is from the third chapter. It says, "Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. If on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Because Christ has made me his own, I press on to make him, to make it my own, to make the new life my own, because Christ has made me his own. This is Paul's governing motive. This is what drives him. This is what moves him, the fact that Jesus has made him his own. But this isn't where Paul started. Paul tells us that in the beginning of his journey, he had all the qualifications he needed to be seen as a religious elite, as doing really well in his religious community. He'd done the right rituals. He was from the right family. He knew the scriptures. He followed all the rules. He was zealous or passionate for his faith. Peter, by comparison, was just a poor fisherman in Galilee. But what Peter did have, that living relationship with Jesus, Paul considered to be of surpassing value, of so much value that everything else was loss or rubbish. All else was a distraction. All else was meaningless compared to knowing Jesus Christ as his Lord. So today, I think this is a question for you. This is a question for all of us. Do we know that surpassing value of knowing Jesus? Is knowing Jesus so worthy and valuable to us that everything else falls by the wayside? That everything else is submitted to that? That everything else is not a worthy source of our identity, of our meaning? Is knowing Jesus the most central, the most definitive and meaningful thing for us? Or are there other sources of value and identity that we want to hold on to? I'll follow Jesus as long as I can keep, or I'll follow Jesus as long as I don't have to change. I'll follow Jesus as long as I don't have to let go of. Yes. We can fill in the blanks, all of us, I'm sure. When Peter met Jesus, it says he left everything and followed him. Just to give you guys one picture of what this might look like, I'm reminded of a story of a wealthy young man in Egypt in the 200s. His name was Antony. He went to church one day, and he heard a sermon on the passage in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus meets a rich young man and tells him to sell all his possessions and follow him. So Antony took this literally. He sold everything he had and moved out into the desert and lived in a cave and prayed for the rest of his life. That may not be what your walk with Jesus looks like. It's a disclaimer. I'm not telling anyone to do that, so don't blame me if they do. But that's the question for us. Do we know Jesus? Do we love Jesus? Do we know the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus enough that we have that same drive that Antony had, or many of the other great saints? There are hundreds of stories like that. And Paul, too, had to leave everything behind. To gain Christ and to be found in him, he says. He had to lose everything else that defined him. He had to discard it as a meaningless source of identity. And Paul's model for this loss of himself is Jesus. Just one chapter before the passage we read, Paul describes Jesus as the one who, he says, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And as Christ lowered himself in all humility to join himself to humanity in our fallen condition, so Paul had to let go of all the things that gave him an illusion of security, worth, goodness, meaning. Knowing the Bible and following the rules wasn't enough for Paul. He had to really know Jesus. And we who follow Jesus, we have to find ourselves in Jesus alone as well, in the one who emptied himself to know us. As Paul says, this means that we have to share in Christ's sufferings by becoming like him in his death. It seems pretty extreme. We might think the whole point of Jesus' death is that we don't have to. But what Paul means is we have to put the self that we construct to death. We have to put the self that we project to other people or that other people create for us to death. We have to let go of our own righteousness, he says, our own sense of goodness, our own sense of worth in relationship to God. We have to live in total dependence and reliance on Christ. He says in the letter to the Galatians, through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this death that Paul talks about, this loss, isn't true death and loss. It's death to a dying life. It's loss of false gains. And this is what Jesus calls us to today. Those who want to save their life will lose it, we read last week. And those who want to lose, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Following Jesus, who lowered himself to join himself to us and raise us up in himself, we must let go of all else, die to all else that would define us. Even Paul, though, admits that he has not yet attained this. He has not yet reached this. He's not perfect. He's not the perfect disciple. Peter denied Jesus. That was part of his walk. But he says that he presses on to make this new life his own because Christ Jesus has made him his own. Paul isn't trading in one set of rules and conditions for another. He's trading in all of that for a life where he knows that he belongs to Jesus and wants to live into that more. So for us today, my prayer for you is that you would know the surpassing worth, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord. I pray that you would know that deep in your heart as not just wanting to join the church and meet some standard that's been set on you as people who grew up in Christian families or grew up in the church who want to be different in this way. I pray that that would really come from knowing Christ in your heart. I pray that you would hear that upward call that Paul talks about, the call to step into this new life that we're given. I pray that you would press on to make Christ your own because he has made you his own, and that you would know that you belong to him. In Jesus' name, amen.